Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Right, and here he is.
Yes.
What should I lead with, though? Like, because I could go so many. Should I go with, attorney, I think, might give people the wrong idea.
Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, getting a tattoo. Once you become admitted as an attorney, it doesn't stop.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I can leave the fraternity, but it sort of follows me everywhere. but yeah, attorney at law for my sins.
How would you like to, what would you lead with? Would you lead with TV? Would you lead with radio? Would you lead with style? Would you, what would you lead with?
Well, I think people are doing words, you know, so by virtue of me not going to the office every day to go lawyer, so I wouldn't call myself a lawyer.
Yeah.
But radio and television is sort of where my big loves are right now. And it's been doing well.
But also style. I mean,
That's incidental, you know. I sort of kind of, I can put together a few frocks, you know. My hair's the right direction most days. But yeah, it's a team effort.
Tell me about you as a kid.
Me as a kid.
I thought you were going to say for a second there, how long do you have?
I was a very easy kid. I was a bit of a smarty pants. I was an A student. I got 2 scholarships when I was a bit younger.
Where did you grow up?
Johannesburg. So my family is all from Johannesburg. I grew up in Soweto for a part, and then I ran off to boarding school, and I sort of haven't been back for a while.
Boarding school is pretty interesting.
Yeah, boarding school was fun. I got a scholarship to go to boarding school, so I sort of left El Dorado Park, nice colored community with all the great fabric and cultural fiber, to go play around in the northern suburbs and get this really cool accent. And yeah, then I got in there, found myself with people whose surnames usually grace the back of sort of banknotes and buildings and university corners, and got into law because, you know, after they paid R500,000 for your schooling, you sort of have to do something that makes money. Because artists don't make money. I mean, I'm sure you make a lot of money.
But wait, I'm trying to find out what boarding school is like, because I did not go to boarding school, and I can think of nothing that I would not like. I do not have any regrets about not going to boarding school.
Oh, it was great. It was great. I was lucky because I got into boarding school. I got into the boarding part of school sort of in the second half of my high schooling career. So I was a day boy for about 10 and a half years. And my calendar became so busy being sort of, you know, a drama student, academics, the sport. So we decided to move me to boarding. And in an all-boys school, it's interesting. Things would go missing every day. We had an open door policy, so you'd be sort of coming out of the shower and trying to get dressed, and 4 guys will barge into your room and start beating you down with towels because, you know, it's what we do in boarding houses.
And you see, you say it's so blasé. I would have been like, that's so hectic. That's so crazy. That, like, it's going to impact me for the rest of my life. Look, it's going to change my story, my narrative, my father.
We couldn't do anything. And also, remember being a gay boy in that environment as well is very confusing because now all of a sudden you sort of, you know, there's all this male energy around you and you're receiving it very differently to how everyone else does. So you sort of sitting there going,
But you speak about it like you owned it. Like you owned that situation. You made it work for you. You figured it out. Was it smooth sailing?
It wasn't. The first year I hated it. I tried to go home every day. And it took sort of, you know, getting the right friendship group around and sort of starting to get into your own. I think the great thing about the school I went to was that it really did advocate for you to be the best version of you you could be. So, you know, if you were musical, they wouldn't try to put you into sort of science.
Another
and all that
box.
Stuff. Yeah. So I started sort of getting into my own then, but also I was very sort of confused about the rest of the world because when you're one of 10 black boys in a grade of 120, you sort of, you know, lose your footing in what the world works like because you live at school, your friends are from school, and then you get to VITS sort of, you know, in your first year and you realize, wow, there's a lot of brown people in the world, and you start having to reacclimatize to the world at large. And because I came from a background where I wasn't, you know, I don't have the right family surname, the markets don't make anything interesting really, we don't you know, have lots of cash, so you never actually belong anywhere because at school you've got all these rich friends which you're not one of, and at home you now, you know, you in the north, you hang out with these people, you're traveling internationally for your holidays.
Now, do you have siblings? Was it just you that was doing this? What did they end up doing? How did it all work?
So I'm the oldest of 3. My baby sister, who's my half twin, is 12 years younger.
Half twin, so
same birthdays, born in the same hour, just 13 years later.
Okay. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, my mom and dad have a time when they create their babies.
Okay.
Yeah, and my brother, who's the youngest in the family, he's 15 years younger. So it was a huge gap.
Okay, so you were kind of going through this. There wasn't a lot of people to bounce this off of.
It was ridiculous, man. And also, you're in a time where we didn't have the new wave of sort of consciousness coming through. So you didn't have like the fees must fall, but we were still fighting the small fights, like having your hair like it is at school. And also being allowed to, you know, speak to your friends in your home tongue. So that became sort of the fight we pushed on. And also for people to recognize you as being a fully functional, intelligent human being in this environment where everything tells you that you're not, you know, your friends or, you know, parents are all in excos in big firms. And my mom is, you know, blue collar. She works.
You know what's interesting about how you're delivering all this is that your tone is very matter of fact. And then the content is like very emotive and very like, you know, there's a million ways you could deliver it. Yeah. And you deliver it in such a matter of fact way, which is confusing me a little bit, to be honest.
It's when you
it's so factual and non emotive, yet the content is so emotive.
I think I've had to learn to earn it. I mean,
but maybe you just are like that as a person.
Yeah, maybe I just talk too much, eh?
No. Maybe you're just like, I don't know. Like, do you break down over stuff? Are you like, do you cry? Do you like. I don't know.
Yeah, listen, you know, we wear very expensive mascara, so crying is like sort of a... but
what do your exes say about you?
Oh, wow. I've got... Oh, wow. Oh, you went there? my exes would say that I'm possibly very engineered in that I think a big part of it is the fact that because I've left the law, you know, I left a career that was meant to give me all the money in the world and give me all the status to follow a passion. I've had to get ready for difficult questions. I've had to get ready for difficult things happening. I've had to get ready for not having lots of cash when all my friends who were in the same year as me are reminding me that, dude, yeah, you stayed in law, man. This Range Rover is really, really comfortable. But I've had to also internalize it. It's my truth. I made the active decision. So unlike most people in the industry who will tell you, sort of went to a casting with my friend and then I got in and then they're like, why don't you try out? And I tried out and here I am. I actively left law. I put a team in place. I paid money for people to manage me, to PR me, to style me, to start this whole thing. So for me, it's my life has always been this big production, you know. So I find those parts that are not so... pleasant to be great content. They are the ones that you know make me a great interviewee.
I mean, I don't know if a great interviewee would speak about the fact that they're a great interviewee. Maybe that will have to kind of ponder a little bit. All right, cool. Hanging out with Leroy Mark, who is many things.
Yeah.
Like a proper smart person with a law degree, and then on television, and then great on Instagram, and all of those things. And delivers everything as we've learned in a very matter-of-fact way. We'll find out a little bit more about him on the other side of this.
This is CliffCentral.com.
So we've thrown him into the numbers mix to see what the stars say, and now we get really deep and meaningful with Leroy. We find out real aspects of his personality he would never tell us. According to the primal astrological zodiac sign, Leroy is the polar bear.
The polar bear?
And now we're going to bounce off some statements about this.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope it has nothing to do with my weight.
It's no, not at all. So this, and we're going to see if this is true or not. We're going to really put this to the test here. It says here, though intellectuals in many respects, polar bears are primarily guided by their emotions. It's neither positive nor negative. It simply is the way their minds function. Because of this, members of the sign are often very sensitive to the way others treat them.
Mm. Yes, very true. Very true. Yeah.
What would this look like in your life?
I mean, I have a serial complex of cutting people off the moment they get sort of under my skin.
Really?
Yeah. I literally, you become dead to me. I will block and exile you to an island
like
far away.
You've got people blocked on WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, WhatsApp is okay. Twitter, I probably have more people off Twitter.
But what do people say to you that upsets you on Twitter?
I think because I work so hard at work and the things that I do, and again, you know, the fact that I actively got into this, it's a real reflection of what I do, of who I am. So my work is more than anything the biggest part of my life. I mean, even second to first to relationships, like relationships come way after. And so when
well, that could be because you just haven't met the right person yet.
Yeah, I mean, I recently met someone, so we'll see how that goes.
Don't worry, we're going to get to that part of this.
But it's freaky because I'm super emotional. And so I think the and you were saying early on how I'm so matter of fact about things, is because I sort of try and keep the gates up. If, you know, I start getting teary eyed about me being bullied in high school, then it sort of opens the door up.
But you've dealt with it internally.
Yeah. I do have quite a few issues that I still have to carry around with me because, you know, you have to build some sort of armor. And unfortunately, where you're in an industry...
You know, you're describing the way not to deal with all of this
stuff.
Yeah,
no. just don't drink. but you sort of find ways around it. And I'm like typically, you know, will exile people out of my life just so that I can keep the sanity around. But also then try to sort of... insulate myself from all of that. So as I said, cutting you out is quite easy. Very intellectual, so it's a crutch. It's very easy for me to tap into the intellect side of it. You know, I read extensively. I was a lawyer, so I can argue my way out of a box.
No, but we learned now that you are guided by emotions at the end of the day. So you can tell me it's intellectual, but we know the truth. It says here, romantic relationships will be tricky. Most polar bears will toy with love in their youth, but very few will enter into serious partnerships at an early age. Learning how to balance the love of the self with the love of others is a major theme in the life of polar bears.
Yeah, very polar bear-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think also because with the people around you, you sort of need to... Yeah, love has never been a big thing for me. Like, it really has not been a care of mine. When it happened, it has happened. And even breakups, like, I mean, I really get over them in a matter of days. So it's... and because I'm quite used to being able to shelve that part of my vulnerability away, I can deal with it by compartmentalizing it because by virtue of just where I'm wired, for me... I can't have one aspect of my life derail everything.
Are you pretty tolerant of other people, though, that are maybe a little bit more emotive than what you come across as?
Yeah. I can deal with you being emotional, but also it depends on what that requires of me. So if you're going to start breaking down to tears right now, it'll be really, really awkward because I wouldn't know what to say. I'd probably pat you on the back. But also I found that my response would then become very atypical.
Just your borderline plug you in at night, you charge up and then you roll you out the next morning. Day. Yeah, that's quite insane.
I mean, I think people who are very close to me will say... differently. I think you ask my manager, he'll tell you that I call him 100 times worried about, like, did I look proper on the red carpet, did I say the right thing.
Well, that's insecurity, that's not necessarily emotion. Yeah,
which is, I think, exhibits itself in an emotion, right? Because you start getting sort of sweaty. And you try figure out how you could have done things better. And the Virgo in me, which I don't know if that aligns with it, is a mega perfectionist. So I pride myself in, like, doing things right first time around, which is a recipe for disaster because, you know, you can't do everything right the first time around. So it does make it very difficult to get into a relationship and be tolerant in a relationship because also you have certain expectations of how you relate to other people. So, and also having gone through two very interesting relationships in the last 3 years, one where I was dating significantly younger and one where I was dating slightly older, I found that it was like a real, you know, madness in my mind because I didn't know where I fit in that relationship. And so how I act out is by being completely stubborn. So I'm not very yielding. So maybe that's the problem. Maybe the plug and go Leroy is problematic in relationships.
No,
great for work.
Pulling your leg.
Great for work, but not very good for relationships.
What would you ask, and you're a presenter yourself and very, very good at it, and radio, TV, all of that. What would you ask yourself at this point of the interview as a question?
What are the three things I'm most worried about?
Really? Yeah. Why would that be the question?
Well, because then people have to dig into themselves. They have to. You can't tell me you're worried about the exchange rate.
Okay.
That's not a worry. That's worry number 35 on your list of worries. But what are the three things you're worried about?
That's quite a probing question. Yeah. But since you asked it, you can answer as well.
Oh, wow. What are the three things I'm most worried about?
Stability. And it's not the exchange rate.
No, it's not the exchange rate. But stability, I think, because of the industry that we work in and being the early part of the year, I'm always chasing as much work as I can. And so, you know, the beginning of the year and you're not getting as many emails and your manager's not calling you around the clock sort of unsettles me. So that's my big worry always about work. believe it or not, my weight. So I'm a big gym bunny and I've been trying to put on weight for the longest time because of a project I'm trying to do that eventually will sort of put me to where I want to be later on in the year. And my genetics are really vindictive. They play against me. And so that's what I'm worried about now. And money, but sort of personal wealth so that I can sort of get a nice house and a big car. Because I think for me, the result of good work is good things. So if I have good work and it's giving me all the things I need financially and otherwise, then the stuff I have around me will reflect it. So yeah, big worries are those three.
Yeah, your body is pretty important to you. Looking at your Instagram,
yes,
what is the, I'm trying to see what the caption on this is. There's no no, it says man chesty.
Yeah,
and it's a picture of you without a shirt and then two hearts.
Yeah.
What's the thinking behind that?
Are the hearts like strategically placed?
I mean, I don't know if they're strategically placed. You can have a look. You can check out Leroy's Instagram now.
So I had to do that because it would have been seen almost pornographic because I'm wearing loose pants.
Okay.
So I had to sort of find a way to, yeah. So
how do you draw the line what you share and don't share on social media?
Is there someone who's done it before? So what would you categorize that as? So if you look at someone like Tyson Beckford as a model, he'll show up to and including whatever, right?
Okay.
So if I'm going to go off and, you know, pull off my pants and show you more than you need to see, then I'm now crossing a line to a different kind of person. So for me, it's always a reflection because nothing is new. Nothing hasn't been done before.
Mm.
So you just need to look for a reference that works in those boundaries. And for me, those happen to be people who, and one guy shares my last name, who would do similar things, because there is a norm, whether we want it or not, there is a social media norm about how far to go before people think you're an idiot, you know, or you are selling stuff.
What does your inbox look like?
Very interesting. I get body parts sent to me very often.
Okay.
Very, very often. I think of the 30 or so messages I haven't read, I'm pretty sure about 22 of them contain interesting parts of people's bodies.
Anatomy, yeah.
Yeah. The rest is sort of people wanting to, you know, get into the industry.
Okay.
Lots of fashion questions asked to me. Don't know why. I mean, you know, it's a team effort. I sort of can wear a shirt the right way around. So,
no, you are well put together.
Thank you, thank you.
Now, if we look at you on Google, the things that come up, Dineo Moketsi, is it similar?
My best friend.
Okay.
Yeah, so
yeah,
we share life, really.
Oh, she's so cool. Yeah.
She's my
okay.
best friend.
Dope. Jesse Suntele.
Co-host on BT A-List.
Okay, that comes up.
Yeah.
MTV comes up. Instagram comes up.
Yeah.
Instagram comes up. Boyfriend comes up.
That is the most asked question. People want to know who I'm dating.
Yeah, you said you're ready. You're dating someone.
Yeah, but I've never told
but
them.
But you're not that interested in the relationship, you're more interested in your work. You said that.
No. I love my relationship right now. It's the biggest, it's the most asked question, and it's one I haven't answered in the last however long. MTV, obviously, because I worked at MTV, which is part of BET,
yes.
And Viacom and all of that. Yeah, it's the most asked question about me.
Okay. And then I'm just looking at recent news items, but a lot of it is kind of work-related. What do the family think of this newfound path of yours having qualified as a lawyer?
My mom is in two hearts about it. So she really wanted a doctor for her son, and I am notoriously squeamish. I am afraid of needles, but mortally afraid. I've had to find a guy in Sharon Lee who does my tattoos who's called No Pain Dwayne. And it's because his name is No Pain Dwayne that I go
wow.
to him.
What are your tattoos of?
I've got one on my above my left collarbone, which is a Latin phrase, which
cool.
means to thy own self be true. And I've got one under sort of in my inner arm on my left bicep. This too shall pass. And I've got a star on my right abdomen. So scars, you know, you wear your scars on your sleeve. And I decided when I left practice after falling into a major depression, the last 6 months of my rotation were just ridiculous. I was heavily reliant on over-the-counter sort of anti-anxiety medicine, which they say is natural, but there's nothing natural about it. So I sort of zoned out for 6 months, and after almost crashing my car 3 times and spinning off just before I got home one day, I thought I should stop. And then I fell into a major depression because of all of that. And it took all of that for me to sort of start chronicling the years as they pass, because, you know, 5 years from now, you forget what happened in 19 whatever or 2000 whatever, and you fall into back into the cycle. So that was when I got the first tattoo, those two shall pass, because at some point I really thought I was going to just die. I thought there was no way I was going to get beyond this. It was ridiculous. Working 14-hour days for a boss who completely hates you, and you have to keep up appearances when you leave the building because, hey, you're working for a top 5 law firm, you're making the big money, you're driving the nice car, how dare you be unhappy? And so when I decided to get the tattoo, it was to remind me of all the bad times I've had, so never to do that again, but also to realize that all the good things pass too. So when you're in the moment, don't bother about the stuff around it, you know. I mean, I made the joke about mascara, but I never worry very much about how I look, in fact. For me, it's what happens in the moment. It's the one time you get to live the moment, and you can repeat, you can't repeat it, you know. You can sort of look at the video and go, ooh, what a fun concert. But you can't be in the moment again, so that too passes. And when I decided finally 3 years later to leave practice, like full practice, like leave, because when I left law firm, I went to a bank thinking things would be better there, and I found I hated it even more. And every time I went to the ATM, I was faced with the bank I used to work for, and I carried the bank card in my wallet, so the bank was always with me. And then I went to an audit firm because I thought, well, if you know, they crap in law and they crap in banking, auditors seem like they have the best time. They just drink more. Really, because they have more problems.
Just, you're not painting a good view of corporate South Africa yet.
It isn't. I promise you. I mean, it wasn't for you, but it is
for some people.
There's some people who do well in it. I think because I also found what I wanted to do in that time, that it was never going to be. It's a great dream. It was a wonderful dream, just not my dream.
Yeah.
And so it became very clear to me that was not where I wanted to go. So I then tapped into my ballet history. So I used to dance when I was younger. Because my mom, see, she liked fame, and she named me Leroy after Leroy and Fame. So as soon as I could walk, she chucked me into ballet school and said, you will dance. And so I danced. So it's not a great dream to have when you found what you want. I think wherever you are in your life, if you're not in the right place and you know where you ought to be, then nothing will work. And that's why the major depression came through. That's why trying to go from one job to another, lasting 6 months at my last one in corporate and 10 months the longest. It was just not working.
Leroy, I got to tell you, very interesting guy. I've lived a lot. You really, really have. We have to start to land it. And I'm actually going to leave it open to you to land. What do you want people to have learned from this conversation that we've had today?
I think there's a lot to be said about autopiloting your life, you know, and living on someone else's terms. And it's easy. It's very easy because you sort of can blame someone else forever. You know, I could have continued the law degree and hated every day of my life and then blame my parents because they wanted a lawyer or a doctor and they got themselves a lawyer. But you have to take responsibility for your life at some point. You know, you can't redo it. And it is very difficult. You have to make very big changes and concessions for your life. But I say it all the time. If I never make a cent out of this industry, if this industry kicks me out and never wants to see me again, and I spend the next 40 years trying to get back in, at the very least, I would have lived my truth. At the very least, I would have tried every single thing. And on my deathbed, no one can say I didn't try.
I dig it. How do we keep up with you all day on social media?
_Leroy_Mark. That's Mark with a C everywhere.
Fantastic. Leroy Mark, radio and TV personality, brand ambassador, attorney at law, all those things.
Yes.
And then very matter-of-fact individual as well. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.